A young hoodlum in Gießen in Germany attempted to mug a blind beggar, but he got something that he hadn't bargained for. He was wrestled to the ground, flipped face down and held in a stranglehold until the police arrived. His victim was Michael Esser, a former world blind judo champion. It was something the young thief did not expect. So the next time any of us is thinking of mugging a blind beggar, bear that story in mind. Only joking, of course. But life is full of the unexpected. As you well know by now, the Fit for Purpose theme for 2014-15 focuses on the church as a people of service and outreach. You've heard that dozens of times this week if you've been here through the week. My fellow chaplain, Trevor McCormick, gave his thoughts yesterday on what it means to be a people of service. Today I'm going to bring some thoughts on being a people of outreach, thinking especially of our evangelistic responsibility. I chose that story from Acts chapter 10 to give us all some food for thought. It's a story that the Board of Mission Overseas picks up on in its report, reminding us that we still have something to learn from it today. And it's another story that illustrates how life is full of the unexpected, and especially when we attempt to reach out with the good news of Jesus Christ. We know the Peter Cornelius story fairly well. I have nothing new to say on the story, but maybe we need to think again about some of the lessons we learn there. And I have four things to say about it. Firstly, outreach will challenge our preconceived ideas. Now, of course, Peter had been among the 11 disciples who'd heard Jesus say, "Go and make disciples of all nations." And he, with the others, was obviously fully committed to that task. But so far in the story of Acts, for Peter, the penny hadn't dropped that all nations included Gentiles. Peter hadn't understood that yet, and so he was blind to a whole world of need. However, life became full of the unexpected for him that day on the rooftop. The Lord spoke to him as never before, first through that vision, the sheep being let down with all the animals, and then the three visitors who came to seek him out. Cornelius the centurion, Cornelius the Gentile, wanted to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. So that day, the Lord challenged Peter's preconceived ideas. Were some people more valuable to God than others? Jews, for example? No, they weren't. Did some people deserve to hear the good news of Jesus Christ and some not deserve? All people deserve to hear. Did someone as privileged and as important as Peter know everything that there was to know? No, he didn't. And similarly, for you and me, life will be full of the unexpected when we allow the Lord to open our eyes to the needs of all kinds of people around us, whether with a vision of the kind that Peter had or without a vision. Secondly, outreach will take us somewhere we haven't been before. Had Peter ever been in the house of a Gentile before? No, he hadn't. That thought would have been anathema to him for most of his life. But 2 days later, the Lord led him to Cornelius' house in Caesarea. Now, granted, Cornelius didn't live next door, just down the street, but it would have been just as big a step of faith for Peter had Cornelius just lived next door or just down the street. For sure, Peter loved the Lord. For sure, he wanted to live an obedient life. For sure, he was committed to sharing the good news of his Savior with others. Years later, in his first letter to Christian friends, he would tell them, "You have been set apart as you're a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful life." And we were reminded of that last night through Frank Sell's very challenging sermon on that very subject, and we learn more through the material he has prepared in the All the Difference in the World resource pack that will become available to ministers. But Peter had to learn that commitment to his Lord would sometimes mean reaching out to unexpected people and going to places that he hadn't been before. Now, what might that mean for us in our congregations? Visiting homes that we haven't visited before, getting involved in public places where we haven't been involved before, exploring the possibility of community involvement where we haven't been before, reaching out to young people where they hang out, places that we haven't been before. Like Peter, we will discover that reaching out with the good news of Jesus Christ will take us somewhere we haven't been before. Are we ready for that kind of challenge? Thirdly, outreach will lead us to people who need Christ. There was Cornelius, very much like some of the people, maybe many of the people you and I know, decent, generous, respected, God-fearing. But he still didn't know Christ. And the Lord began to work in his heart. Before Peter even began thinking about him, the Lord was working in his heart. Peter may well have been praying, Lord, please open up new doors of gospel opportunity for us. But he never dreamt that his prayer and the prayers of others would be answered like this. How life is full of the unexpected. Now, of course, the story could have ended differently. Peter could have said to Cornelius' servants, sorry, I can't come. There's plenty of work for me to do right here where I am. But he didn't do that. He sensed that the Lord was sending him in a new direction. If he hadn't gone out of his comfort zone on this occasion, he might never have known how the Lord was working in sheer grace in the lives of unexpected people, Gentile people, to open them to the gospel of his Savior. However, in faith, he set out from Joppa for Caesarea. And if we're going to be the people of service and outreach God wants us to be, then we will have to do the same, going to where we haven't been before, believing that if we go, the Lord will already be at work where we're going. Think about it. Would a trustworthy God ever send us out to reach others if he was not already at work in at least some of the lives of the people that we meet there, and sometimes in the most unexpected of places? Fourthly, outreach will lead to the extension of Christ's kingdom. When Peter arrived at Cornelius' house, he was well received. I'm sure he was just as nervous as any of us would be going into new territory, stepping into unfamiliar ground. But the Lord was with him, and the Lord was already in that place. As we read on into the story, Luke tells us in verses 44 to 46 of the passage, while Peter was still speaking these words, sharing the gospel of Jesus, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers, those from a Jewish background, who had come with Peter, were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles. And so the unexpected had happened. Gentiles had accepted the message of Christ. They had received the Holy Spirit. They were baptized. They were added to the church. But it wouldn't have happened if Peter had just sat at home. He knew that he had to be obedient to his Lord's command. He knew he had to follow the prompting that he was being given from heaven. And even though it was a hard thing for him to do, he went. The name of Stephen Alford is one that many of you will know. Son of missionary parents, he became an influential preacher and evangelist on both sides of the Atlantic. His pastoral ministry began at Duke Street Baptist Church in Richmond in England. And then he went to the United States. He became the pastor there of Calvary Baptist Church in New York City in the 60s and the 70s of the last century. And he continued to be very influential after his time there. I heard him speaking once on the subject of evangelism. Some of you may have heard him as well. He emphasized how important it is for the church to reach out with the gospel of Jesus. And he used four punchy headings to sum up our mandate. And those of you who've ever heard him will be able to visualize and even hear him saying these things. He said, Christ commands us to catch the fish. And he commands us, just as he did those first disciples, come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And we can understand the fishing analogy. It's not just the solo angler on the shore with his rod. It's the fishing boat, the crew working together with their nets, throwing the nets, going out from the harbor into the deep, taking risks, being somewhere that's far from safe. Come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Christ commands us to catch the fish. Christ also commands us to seek the lost. We're to be like the concerned shepherds that Jesus and his disciples would have been familiar with in those times, valuing every lost sheep. It's not that we don't value those who are already in the fold. It's just that we know that every other one is valuable as well. We don't want them to be left in trouble. We don't want them to be left in some unsafe place. We want them to be somewhere that's safe. And so Christ commands us to seek the lost. Thirdly, Christ commands us to reap the harvest. We're to sow the seed of the gospel in every way we can, with our lips telling the story of Jesus, by our love, showing the love of Jesus to the people we meet, through our lives, interacting with people, showing them that ordinary people matter to God. We're to seek the lost. And fourthly, Christ commands us to reap the harvest. We're to sow the seed of the gospel in every place. We're to know that every place that we sow that seed, there will be a harvest that God himself will provide. And then the last thing, catch the fish, seek the lost, reap the harvest, fill the house. Do you remember the parable that Jesus told, the parable of the great banquet? At first, the people who were invited made excuse after excuse as to why they could not come. Then we read in that passage in Luke 14, then the master told his servant, go out to the roads and country lanes and make them come in that my house may be full. And so our Lord used different analogies to stress the same message. Go catch, go seek, go reap, go fill the house. We can't reach out with the good news of the gospel by staying at home with our feet up in our comfort zone. We can't extend Christ's kingdom without going and without doing in love and in service. So I simply want to ask this question. What does each of us therefore need to do in our own situation? What will it mean for you and me today to catch the fish, to seek the lost, to reap the harvest, to fill the house? There's a challenge there for us as individuals as well as for us as congregations. And here's the thought I want to give to you. If each of us were to do just one new thing, what a difference that might make. Are we open to that kind of challenge? So first of all, for us as individuals, let each of us ask this question. Lord, what do you want me as an individual to do? To reach out with your good news in some new way. Maybe to go to that single mum who's struggling on her own. Or to go to that old person who's living on their own without family support. Or that newcomer that's just moved into our area. Maybe a newcomer with a different colour of skin from a different country, a different society and background. Or maybe to go to that neighbour who's been living alongside us for many years, but we've never spoken to them about Jesus. Or to go to that person who maybe used to attend our church, but they've fallen away for some reason. And we've thought about them, but we've never ever gone to them to say that we've missed them and maybe to share the good news of our Saviour again. Lord, where do you want me to go? Somewhere that I haven't been before, to share the good news of my Saviour. What a difference there would be if all of us here, every single one of us, would ask that, pray that prayer, ask that question, Lord, show me one new thing that I, as an individual, could do. And then to think of it on a congregational basis, those of us who are ministers and elders and church leaders in different areas of leadership, could we go back to our congregation and ask the question, Lord, is there one new thing right now you would want us to think about doing to reach out with the good news of your Son? To go in some new way into our community with the gospel. I've mentioned some of the possibilities in terms of visitation, in terms of getting involved in community life and so on. I was thinking about it earlier. Some of you are very much into websites and how important they can be. Some of you are very much into social media. Is there something new we could do, even on that level, through our website, through new use of social media, to reach out into the world around us? What a difference there would be if each one of the congregations represented here in this gathering today were to attempt something new by way of outreach into our community to share the good news of Jesus Christ. Outreach will challenge our preconceived ideas. It will take us somewhere that we haven't been before. It will lead us to people who need Christ, and it will lead to the extension of Christ's kingdom. So let each of us listen and see if the Lord is saying something very special into our hearts today, not with a vision on a rooftop, but just very quietly saying something into your heart and my heart. And then, having heard that voice, prayerfully to go out in faith, as Peter did, and discover the new things that God is doing. The Lord says to us, go catch. Go seek, go reap, go fill the house. May the Lord enable each of us to do this. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you for those who in years gone by have reached out to us in love and in friendship with the gospel of Jesus, have shared that message with us, and help to bring us into your kingdom. We thank you for your gracious work in our lives, sometimes opening our eyes when we're very blind to our need, showing us that we needed your Son as Lord and Savior of our life. But Father, we want to confess that sometimes we have sat there, perhaps with our feet up, in our own comfort zone, and we've refused to think about any new things we could do or any new places you might want us to go. We perhaps have been deaf to your call. Forgive us, Father, if that is the case, either for us as individuals or for us as congregations. And help us by your Spirit, even today, to hear what you're saying into our heart, into our congregational life. And grant that, like Peter of old, we may be responsive to your call, that we might understand that the whole world is yours, and that all kinds of people matter to you. And may we have that joy of seeing you fill the house. For we ask these things in our Savior's name. Amen.